Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I am Mark McHugh. I am your host, and we're also over on Periscope if you guys want to check us out on SWIV1 if you guys are on Periscope as well. It's great to be able to be back doing regular shows, and I'm really, really, really honored to have a couple guys, a guy and a gal. A guy that has had a show probably on longer than I have. They've started about a year before me, and they've been doing so many great stuff out there. They're a really innovative show out there in New Jersey. Really talk a lot about current topics and things that you guys are interested in. I'm really really pleased to have Steve Cuddy D on with us as well. Courtney, how are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Doing great today. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you guys have been doing this for about just about 11 years. My show will turn 10 come October. How's it been for you? I know for me, it's been always been a struggle to try to keep the show going for this long of a time. As well. How about you guys? How has it been for you, Steve, to be able to keep this show going for so long?
Well, we've had our recent, like, as far as hiatuses and stuff like that, as far as working around everyone's schedules and vacations and things like that. But for the past 11 years, we've been going strong. In the beginning, it basically started out as basically a hobby of mine to start off. But on public access TV, it's funny, it just started steamrolling, and we started building up an actual audience on public access TV. So I figured it was time to trying to bring the Cuddy D show to the next level, and that's where I started reaching out to as far as Courtney and Vicky and started actually filming this our show in actually a studio, a local public access studio over here in Jackson, New Jersey, and it's been going great. I mean, the ratings, they have certain ratings as far as public access TV, but all the positive feedback we've been hearing from our audience has been going really well. I mean, so we figured it's been fun. It's been interesting, and everyone, I'm proud to say, everyone involved in the show, everyone loves the show. I mean, and everyone just has a fun time as far as coming. It's like a night out. It's like our escape also, as far as from the everyday rigorous lives that we all live trying to survive in this crazy world, you know? So, but it's been fun for everyone, and it's great. And we just really look forward to the opportunities, hopefully, that are coming our way.
Yeah, it's been interesting to me that, you know, after the first couple of years, you start to get into that nice little rhythm where you're booking guests. And for me, it's booking guests and kind of getting everything kind of where you want it to be. How's it been for you in terms of, you know, of the show, and how has that changed over the past couple of years? And has it been a little bit easier for you to kind of get the show rolling and kind of getting that pace going?
Well, I'm gonna dedicate all of that positiveness towards Courtney, Vicky, Jim, and my three other production staff members, because without them, there'd be no show. I mean, it's not just going to be myself. So this is a team effort, and they've been nothing but loyal and the best since day one, and that has really kept my passion and desire strong moving forward. I mean, without them, I probably, who knows? I mean, they probably wouldn't have worked out, but I mean, with their commitment and them showing up all the time to the studio, as far as to film our new shows and this and that, as far as bringing their talents and their ideas to make the overall production value of the show the way it is today and what it's become, I really thank them and tip my hat to them. I mean, I'm really happy about as far as our crew and our my co-hosts. I mean, I thank them very much, and it's like we've known each other for 20 years. I mean, we just bounced topics off of each other, and it's been fantastic. I mean, so all the credit to them, and now it's time to put all of our efforts into our trailer and really getting the Cuddy D show in front of the mass audience now, as far as nationwide, and really taking it to the next level.
You see how humble he is, because honestly, we do have a great time together, but this guy is the driving force. If anybody was to ever drop the ball, it would never be dropped. He'd catch it. He's honestly he keeps going and keeps going, and he's always the one that's doing the scheduling, and he tries to make everything as easy as possible for us, so he's just been a delight to work with.
Yeah, you know, cable access was big back in the 90s, and now with the World Wide Web, we have YouTube shows, we have podcasts as well. I mean, for you, I mean, you know, what are the advantages of doing this on an actual set and actually do local cable access versus, you know, doing it online? And what were some of the things that you were, you know, what were some of the things that you're seeing in terms of change in the changing the show and, you know, making wanting to make it a more of a worldwide thing?
Well, I mean, as far as the local public access studio, that was basically where we are in Jersey over here. Basically, from my understanding, as far as the cable networks, public access, they have the studio, which is, to be honest with you, it really isn't top of the line as far as production equipment and cameras and lighting and audio and things like that. So pretty much, you know, we took use of the studio, which was basically giving anyone who has a public access TV show around here, it's like you actually have free access to their studio. It's just a matter as far as being accepted and booking the dates and times and things like that. So, so free is a good thing. So I figured, you know what, it was hopefully this, we moved forward with that as springboard. And now it's like that, we're using that as our springboard to move forward and just to get out, go on, move on to bigger and better studio space as far as getting a full production crew and as far as overall production value of the show. I mean, that's where we basically started off, and now it's at the point where it's either I don't want to say sink or swim, but I mean, I think really we put it all out there. We put it all out there, and compared to all these other shows out there, I mean, I do know that there's no other show like ours. Like I say, we're not superstars. We're not celebrities. We're just everyday, regular people, just like the people at home sitting down watching us, and that's the feedback we've been receiving. People have said that our show is new, it's fresh, it's trendy, and the best statement I've ever seen so far about our show was, it's like a fresh of breath air. So it's like, you know, it's something new, and it's, we don't sugarcoat anything. We relate to people. We hold everyone accountable. We don't read from a script. We don't say what other people tell us to say. So, I mean, you're going to get realness from us, and it's funny. You know, we try to make it comical as well, but, you know, if you want a show that's really going to knock your socks off and tell it like it is, and it's funny, then the Cuddy D show's for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm talking a little bit to Courtney right now. You know, it's a really interesting formula in terms of having two guys on the set and two girls on the set. With you, I mean, how's it been, you know, in terms of having another voice on there? We see a lot of panel shows. A lot of them are really either heavily women or heavily men. How's it been for you to have that nice little balance between the two, Courtney?
I think it's really nice because I think that the best part is we don't agree on everything. We all have very different viewpoints. There's some things we agree on, some things we disagree on. It's always very light and fun, so nobody ever gets mad at each other. But I think that if you have a show that's just kind of built around, you know, no diversity, it's going to be a little boring. It's never boring for us. There's two guys, two girls. Everybody believes something different. Everybody has completely different opinions. We spend a lot of time laughing. So I think for us, it works best that there's, you know, it's not just one sex or the opposite sex. It's a bunch of different people who are coming from different walks of life, who have different life experiences, and we all just shoot from the hip, basically what it is. It's just a good time.
What kind of preparation do you do, Courtney, in terms of the show?
Honestly, zero. I walk in and it feels like home, and I'm just working with a bunch of cool people. Even the guys on the crew are just really great people, and we just have a good time. We spend a couple minutes just chatting and, you know, getting up on what's going on in each other's lives, and then we get up on there, get mic'd, and just start going. So it's not like we're practicing anything or going over notes. We're just really saying what we feel. And the best part is that there's so many different opinions on it that somebody out there is going to relate to one of us. So it just seems to work for us.
That's awesome. And
you know,
if I could just expand, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
If I could just expand on that for 10 seconds real quick, Courtney, you said it best. As far as, like, the only thing that's scripted is as far as we know the topic. But once that topic is read, it's a free-for-all. I don't know what any of our other co-hosts is going to say. That's what makes the show the best. I mean, once the topic is read, boom, it's just no holds barred. It's great.
Well, let me turn that to you in terms of studying and getting ready for the show. You know, obviously it takes a little time for you to come up with topics as well. I mean, is there any certain process that you do in terms of looking up for topics to be able to discuss on the show?
Well, you know what? My drive and my passion has always been television talk shows, and I always just take it upon myself as far as what do I want to hear about? And I take that point of view. I mean, it's like politics. I mean, maybe 20% of our show is politics, for instance. So, but it's a little bit of sprinkle of everything. So I try to incorporate topics into the show that, first of all, I want to be different, of course. I mean, I guarantee you watch a 30-minute show of ours, we're going to talk about some things on our show that you definitely will not hear anywhere else. So, and they're funny, and they're topical, they're informative. It's just that we're original. I mean, I don't want to be like everybody else. So as far as it's something, I like to choose topics that, of course, that are topical news. There's certain things that we have to speak of, but we just don't, you know, elaborate them too much because, I mean, politics gets boring after a while. So, but just topics that I feel that people really want to hear, and then other topics in there that makes you think. I mean, we have a lot of fun talk about recent studies, recent statistics, and stuff like that. I mean, right, Courtney, that's hilarious. I mean,
those are my favorites.
Yeah, and so that's awesome. So I just try to make it, you know, as far as there'll be a couple topics that, of course, every other million of other shows out there are talking about, but no one does it like us. But then on top of that, we're different, and we're talking about things that are in the news, but you got to dig deep, and that's what we do. I mean, I think that we bring out the best of the situations and the topics of today. I just try to be different, and I'm just going from the gut feeling as far as what do people want to hear. And so far, people have been loving the things that we say.
Yeah. Now, you know, how did you come up with the show, Steve? And, you know, how did that process go when you had the opportunity to be able to do the show?
Well, I guess my main influence, it starts off with Jon Stewart back in the day, The Daily Show. I'm a huge fan of his. That's really, and Dave Chappelle back in the day, pretty much when I really started getting into it big time. And I just figured, well, you know what, that might be something fun to do. So I would say those two guys are pretty much my inspiration of becoming a talk show host, number one. And then I just figured, you know, the wheels started spinning. And, you know, just what do I do? I mean, how do I go about creating a talk show, becoming a host, getting a studio, getting people to join me on the show and all this stuff, and get the right people to get along on the panel. So those two guys I credit towards me becoming a talk show host. And then after that, it's just putting the pieces of the puzzle together as far as getting the right people, the studio space, and this and that as far as a film editor coming on board, helping us to create this 10-minute trailer that we're so proud of. And that's really how it all started and how it steamrolled. And as we've gone along on Public Access TV, we just try to tweak it as we go. And just with what we have presented to us right now and the studio we have, we're trying to make the best with what we got right now until we make it to the next level.
Courtney, how did you and Steve meet?
Actually, I found an ad. They were looking for somebody new. And I contacted him and said, yeah, I think I'd be pretty good at this. So I came in and, you know, we spoke on the phone a few times and I came in. And it just seemed to be a really nice mix of people. And we seemed to click really well. So we started shooting. So I haven't been with the show as long as, you know, most of them have. But I feel like I've made a pretty good transition. And I feel like we're all friends and it seems to mesh well. So, you know, it was a pretty simple solution to what I had going on in my life at the time. I was like, I'm a little bored. I do things like public speaking, and I'm a singer-songwriter, so I'm used to being out there. So I'm a pretty unguarded person, and I thought this might be a really fun thing to do. see what it leads to. And it just seems to meld really well. So,
I mean, have you seen this? Did you see the show before you became part of the cast, Courtney?
Yes, I had. And I thought this seems like a really nice fit for me. And it was a fun show. And I just felt like this would be a great time for me to do something a little different. And it seemed like I would be a good part, a good addition to the show. And I think I proved right. We're having a really good time. And I seem to really enjoy myself. And I've met some really great people. And I really enjoy the work. It doesn't feel like work. It's just a bunch of people getting together and talking about current events and some really interesting topics, and it's been a really great time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to say the least. And like you said, we kind of get, you know, get a really good balance in terms of opinions as well. I mean, for you, Steve, to be able to have all these people, you know, part of it and having different opinions as well, I mean, have you learned a lot from your fellow castmates?
Yes, I have. I mean, due to them, I feel I have grown to hone my craft, hopefully with my abilities as far as becoming a talk show host. So, I mean, bottom line is I haven't really had any formalized training and things like that. But you know what? I mean, I'm a real person. And we're all real, and we all have our personal opinions and ideas about topics and subject matter of today. So I feel they've really made me stronger at what I'm at, and we stimulate each other, I mean, with our topics. I mean, it's fantastic that, like Courtney said, we all have different points of view. I mean, if we didn't, it would be a boring show. It probably wouldn't have worked out. But it's like I hope that I rub off on them a little bit and to maybe – stimulate their minds and make them think not differently, but just maybe just see my point of view and vice versa. I've really learned from them as far as on a personal level and professional level. It's exciting. And the more you get to work with people, I mean, you get to know them more. I mean, of course, personally and professionally, and you kind of know how they might react in certain things. And I think that really helps to make a better show as we go, because we are constantly us four evolving with each other as we move forward with the Cuddy D show. And I've gotten to know all of them and they've gotten to know me and things like that. We know where to take shots and things like that, which, you know, makes for, you know, a good show. And so I thank them for that. And yes, they've really helped me to establish myself becoming a better talk show host and a better presenter and someone on the show where people can, you know, relate to all of us. And but I think we really work well with each other, and it's only going to get better as time comes.
Yeah. Now, you know, is there anything that you're looking to expand on the show when we start to get this? You know, we start to launch a little bit more worldwide. I mean, maybe different other segments or whatever as well. I mean, is that something that you guys are interested in?
Well, as far as segments, we are going to bring back a segment at the end of the show, which I created a while ago. It's called Last Licks. It's basically at the end of the show, all of us get 30-second airtime, boom, just you. It's where you can basically talk and say about anything, anybody, and really just vent. Let it all hang loose. What pissed you off that day? What pissed you off last night? Whatever. Just 30 seconds, you and the camera. And that's it. No one else. Just something that really has been bugging you, something that you really want to get off your shoulders that day. So that I think that's a nice knockout punch, a good way to end the show, Last Licks. And then also with Courtney and Vicky really, really being huge in the music industry, I mean, we really want to bring in like a 2-minute music industry news segment, kind of like MTV used to do back in the day. And that's where I want Courtney and Vicky to just take the show over for a couple minutes and talk anything about the music news and industry and just let them run with it.
Now, so Vicky is a musician as well?
Yes, she is.
Oh, interesting. It's interesting to say the least in terms of that. I think what was I going to ask you? I was going to ask you about, the interaction with fans and obviously the increase of social media. You guys are on Twitter. You know, how's it been to for you to get feedback from fans and to be able to get to, you know, to help the show that way in terms of getting some almost instant feedback from the fans?
It's been phenomenal. I mean, of course, there's always going to be people out there who disagree, and they send us an email, and they disagree, this and that. But you know what? If we weren't getting those emails as well, we wouldn't be doing our jobs. But I'm proud to say, as far as the majority of all of our emails, they've been positive. Like I said, they love our show. They've been saying it's new and trendy. Or they like it because a lot of people say, listen, you're controversial, informative, but you're funny. We had the perfect amount of comic relief to all of our topics being discussed. I mean, we don't make fun of everything, and there's certain sensitive issues we speak of on our show, of course, that you really can't make funny, but we try to make them funny as much as possible as we can. But as far as the feedback from the fans, it's been great. They love the show, and as far as it's pretty funny. Well, a long time ago, actually, when we first started out, we actually got kicked off Public Access TV for 2 weeks because we said the word ass. So it's funny. So it's funny because I don't know if I can really say that on your network. But it's funny. We got kicked off for 2 weeks for saying ASS. But what happened was I had to wind up kissing ASS to get back on the network. So it's kind of like, but there's people going to be out there, of course, with every show and stuff like that. But overall, it's been positive, nonstop, and people love it. I think it's just because, you know, we're not a Bill Maher. We're not, a Jew and John Stewart. All these guys, I mean, as far as, Stephen Colbert, I mean, listen, I give them 100% props. They deserve where they're at. But we're everyday people. We're not superstars. We're not celebrities. And people love us. And that's great because we're new. We're fresh.
Yeah, I have absolutely no problem with the word ass. I don't think a lot of people don't have the problem with the word ass. I think that was one of those colloquialisms that have become part of culture that isn't, one of the bad what Carla had the bad seven words that you can't say.
Yeah.
So, ass isn't one of them. So, that's just absolutely hilarious that they're that strict. But I really wanted to talk, Courtney, about, you said that you were a musician. I mean, tell us a little bit about that. Are you still performing?
Right now I'm writing with a new writer. I'm constantly writing. So I took a little bit of a break from performing just so I can, work on this new album. And I'm super excited. I'm going a little bit of a different direction. It's something I've always wanted to do. I've always done, an acoustic duo, so a guitar player and myself. And my music, when I write it, it's very kind of acoustic and singer-songwriter kind of stuff. But then you go, somebody takes one look at me, and they think, oh, pop. So immediately when I get into the studio, a lot of things are changed to be very commercial, which drives me bonkers. You hand somebody your baby, which is your song, and then they turn it into something it was never meant to be. So I've had a lot of fun, but I've also never quite gotten what I want out of my song. So I've started working with a friend of mine who's just super talented. We have the same idea of what we want to do. So it's going to be a very cool album. So we just spend, a couple months writing a bunch of tunes. We're going to continue to do that. And then we're going to start testing it out in different places, doing little shows because it's all original material, which is difficult to say the least, because most people want to pay you to come in and do covers. Because people want to, I guess, get off on Friday night, have a couple drinks, and sing to something they know. And I would rather do original music. So we're going to test it out in a couple spots, and then we are going to record the album and stick it on iTunes with everything else I do. So I'm enjoying myself.
How many albums have you put out so far?
Well, the first album was an EP. I was on Universal Canada, and that was back in, I think 2006 it was released. And then I was unsigned, and I was working with a producer who I still work with. I never burn my bridges, so I still write with all the people I've ever written with. I just add new people to the repertoire. So instead of doing an entire album, we just kept recording songs, having them produced, and then we would release it as singles, because I feel like it's a singles game now rather than putting out an entire album that won't necessarily sell, and then you're forcing people to buy things that maybe they only like track one and track six. So what we decided to do was do a single every couple months. We throw a single out there, and if people like it, because you can, you know, get a little taste of it when you click on it, they'll give you like a little snapshot of like what it sounds like. And if you like that song, you buy it for like $1.99. So we started doing that, and that's been going really well. And I was able to be a part of a book this year with a really terrific producer out in LA who's done Lady Gaga's music. And so it's been a really, like, the last 2 years have been super exciting. So I'm just hoping that this project that I have coming up is brand new for me, and it's really what I've wanted to be doing for all these years. So I'm just hoping that it all goes well, and I'm going to get everything out of my system I need to get out of my system. So I'm excited about it.
I mean, are you on Periscope or Buxter or anything like that?
I'm not. I'm just on iTunes, and then if you Google my name, you can get so much Courtney McManus coming at you. It's almost too much.
Yeah. You know, I was just down in LA recently, and I had one performer that was out, that performs out there on my show, who does Periscope, and they've been getting a lot of great reaction in terms of and feedback, and to be able to give it a more of a worldwide audience, since people can always be in Los Angeles to be able to see her perform. Might be something you might consider kind of to reach out a little bit, maybe get a couple performances out there.
That'd be a good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. If you need any help, let me know. It's great to be able to see that as well. I mean, I've talked to many artists on the show. A lot of them from Canada, up in Toronto. Are you from the Toronto area?
I'm not. I'm from New Jersey, but the producer I was working with at the time was based out in Canada. And when he found me, he said, because he found me on MySpace, that's how long ago he found me, back in the day, and he said, "You sound like a Canadian artist to me, like your writing style is very Canadian." I said, "Are you kidding me? I've never even heard that. I didn't even know what that was." So apparently there's a particular kind of sound. So he had asked me if I was, you know, willing to come out and do like a 6-song EP with him, and decided to do it. I do love Canada, and I really would love to go back there, but no, I'm Jersey-based, born and raised.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, my next guest is kind of in queue right now, so I want to, first of all, give you guys the opportunity to promote whatever you guys want to promote. Obviously, that 10-minute trailer that you guys are doing. Are you going to be updating the website anytime soon, Steve?
Yeah, actually, as far as we just updated as far as our some recent photos and as far as upcoming events, probably filming new shows coming early fall, and then as far as some potential new commentators coming on board as far as to compliment the staff and things like that. So, but no, we're constantly upgrading as much as we possibly can on the website, moving forward, letting everyone know, you know, what the Cuddy D Show is bringing next.
Yeah, thecuddydshow.com. You guys check them out there, and also on Twitter at thecuddydshow, and also on Facebook at thecuddydshow. You guys can check that out as well. Courtney, do you have a Twitter at all?
I do. It's at ccmusicislife.
Okay, repeat that again, please.
It's at ccmusicislife.
ccmusicislife. Okay.
Yep.
Definitely. When you get some of these new singles out, Courtney, I'd love to have you back. Just to talk solely about your music and all that as well, because I've gotten many questions for you on that in terms of that.
Okay.
So we'll definitely have you back on. Just I'll keep in touch with Steve, and we'll see if we can hook up something when your single is closer to being finished, and be able to talk a little bit about your music career.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Yeah, if Vicky ends up doing any music, let me know too, Steve, and we'll definitely promote that on the show as well. So anything else that you want to add, Steve? Anything else that you want to promote?
No, everything was said. I really appreciate your time and having us on your show, and hey, we look forward to moving onward and upward, and you know, Vicky and Courtney, I mean, are. Those guys are the best, and I wish them all the best, and with their own personal careers and the Cuddy D Show. Hopefully, this would be a year where all of our endeavors come true.
Yeah, watch the show,
yeah,
guys.
And then, Yeah, one last question. I have a relationship love expert coming on, Renee Piani on, coming up shortly. Have any questions for her at all?
Oh, yeah. I'm newly engaged.
Do you guys want to
and getting
stay on,
married.
Stay
so.
On and ask a couple questions?
Sure.
How about you, Steve, stay on a little bit?
One statement,
what?
Make love, not war.
Okay, Steve, do you want to stay on, or are you gonna bow out?
Well, I appreciate it, but I think that'll be the extent of mine, if you don't mind, of the time.
Okay, no problem at all. So, Courtney, you sticking around?
Sure, I'll stick around.
Okay, cool. Well, thanks a lot, Steve. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that was Steve Cuddy D. Perry, everybody. You guys can check him out, thecuddydshow.com, at Cuddy D, on Twitter and also on Facebook as well. Okay, I'm really privileged to have this next guest on with me. I've had her on a couple years ago. She has a new book coming out, which is really, really good. It's called, let me see if I can, it's called Get Real About Love, The Secrets to Opening Your Heart and Finding True Love. It's right now available on Amazon. You guys can check that out as well. Renee Piani is on with us right now. Are you there, Renee?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Oh, how are you? It's been a while.
I know. I've been busy. I've been helping people going through breakups and shakeups and questions about doubting love, and I wrote a new book about it, and it is out. It's been out for about a year, and it is really heart-opening to help people that are busy, because I think people are all out there, they're all looking for love, but many of them don't want to take the time to get real, so that's why I'm here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's great to be able to see that you've done so well into this space, you know. How's it been, you know, with the new social media culture and you know, the way things are right now? You say, you know, a lot of, you know, people are busy and all that as well. How's it been for your business, and how's it reflected in this book? Because, like I said, we're all a little bit busy, and so sometimes we're just so focused and concentrated on our careers that we don't get the opportunity to be able to look out and find relationships.
Well, you know, that's funny you would say that, because on the back of my book it says, if you're a busy, successful Wonder Woman or Superman who's ready to find love, you're about to embark on a heart-opening journey that will transform your life, right? So what's happening in the world right now is everyone is so focused on social media that nobody's connecting. So the interesting thing about my work, as you know, I was the pioneer of the very first speed dating company in America, and I put together thousands and thousands of people all over the country. So I myself was a workaholic and one of the pioneers of coaching and helping people to really look at themselves. And you had me on for my book, Love Mechanics, which was a book that I had out and still is out for men to help them understand women. But now, with the culture the way that it is, everyone is on their phone. People that are even getting married, people that are married are on their phones, and people are not connecting the way that they really need to. And it's actually taking away from connections because people are so wrapped up with their technology. And now that I'm married, people always say, how do you keep your marriage the way that it is? Because I've been together with my husband now 12 years. And I say we shut off our friggin' phones, man, you know, because the technology helps people meet, but it also, everybody's swiping and meeting over the phones, but many of them are not meeting in person. So I'm still a big advocate of connecting in your local community and to try to network with people so you can meet face-to-face to see if there's a magical connection, because the phone isn't the only way to meet people, and online dating. You have to still meet face-to-face.
Well, yeah, we have Courtney on with us as well from the Cuddy D Show. Courtney, you know, I mean, how about you? I mean, is that a situation where you go out and, you know, you try to find personal connections out there in the community? And tell us a little bit about that and, you know, how what your opinions are in terms of that.
Well, I think that we all have our phones on too much, and we're all on Facebook way too much, but I am as much a culprit as anybody, where sometimes I have to So, oh, wait a minute, you've been talking to me and I've been looking at my phone, so I'm only half listening to you. So it's something that I think we all do, but I know that I'm conscious of it. When I do it, I go, oh, wait a minute, this is not us really connecting because I'm talking to somebody on Facebook and I'm checking, you know, my email and I'm not even making eye contact with you as you're telling me about your day. So it's probably a terrible thing, but it's so difficult to kind of shut everything down these days because it's become such a part of our lives. So it's a little bit crazy, but
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. It happens to me. I mean, I have clients calling me from all over the world. My texts are going off. My emails are going off. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, all of those things, right? But what is it really getting us? It is connecting us, but it's not connecting the people that we're close to. And if you're single, like I was single well into my 40s. I dated a lot. I had great life as a single person. But when I met my husband, the only reason I met my husband, this is my whole story in this book, because I've been in the dating business for 28 years, and I see the patterns. And what it is when you really think about it, every single person that's in the world right now, no matter where they are, they're in the love phase. They're either in a breakup phase, they're looking for love, they're married and not happy, or they're happily married, they're in the middle of a divorce, or a shake-up of some kind, right? So I always say you're either in the middle of a breakup, a shake-up, or a wake-up, right? And if you're getting married, like you are, you're in the middle of getting married, this is a big decision. You know, it's a big decision. So my book helps people to get real about the lineage of your family and the way you were wired about love, like how you were, who were your role models, and how did you learn about love? Because when you marry somebody, you're marrying their family. You're marrying into a family. You're marrying their beliefs from that family. And I remember my beliefs in my family were all get married young, have a bunch of kids. And I became a career woman because I saw a lot of divorce and infidelity weaved through my great-grandmother's family, my grandmother, my great-aunts, my mother's sisters. So there was a lot of imprints. I call them love imprints. So people that are listening, if you didn't have great role models, oftentimes you might have a part of you that doubts that love will last. So it's really important to check out how your beloved or the person that you're relating to or, you know, people in your life, how they were raised about love so you can see if there's going to be any roadblocks in the future.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It kind of does. I mean, that kind of blurs on the topic of, you know, sometimes they say that, you know, people marry their fathers or marry their mothers.
That's right. It's all unconscious.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Yeah, so,
I'm sorry.
So I said, yeah, either that or the opposite, you know. So it's kind of interesting to say the least that, you know, you bring a lot of personality traits from your parents or from your family into your life. I mean, that's part of growing up. Is that sometimes you learn similar qualities, as it were, from your parents or maybe you know, your family or your grandmother or your family from there. So yeah, it is like you have your family that's a part of you. And when you meet somebody, then yeah, they do kind of marry the family in terms of it.
Well, you know, I am Italian, and I used to bring men to my house, and I have five brothers and sisters, and my brothers are, are you sleeping with my sister? I'm Italian, you know, hey, what are you doing? I'm going to kill you if you touch my sister. Men would get scared away, you know, and then my aunts would interrogate them. What do you do for a living? Where do you live? What kind of car do you drive? It was really like a movie. It was like an Italian Guido movie, like the big fat Greek wedding, except it's Italian. So I wrote the story, Get Real About Love, because I myself had roadblocks in my heart, which led me to my business, which I've been doing for 28 years. And I've helped people to look at their patterns so that they don't recreate what they grew up with. So a lot of people don't believe in love after they get hurt or divorce or have seen that. And when you look at the statistics now, when you think about like technology, think about it, this was something I wanted to bring up. When you think about the younger generation, everyone in the younger generation is technology based, but most of their parents aren't. So the parents don't even know what their kids are doing. with technology because they go, oh, I don't want to deal with all that tweeting stuff. You know, I don't want to deal with Facebook. I don't want to deal with all of that. So many of the kids are being raised by parents that don't even understand how they're connecting. So they're not getting great role modeling because their parents don't even understand it. I have a lot of families. It's funny because I coach people around the world, people that are going through divorce or breakups. And the parents then, I always say to them, as you're going through this divorce, be gentle and be careful how you speak about your ex to your kids because it's going to impact them for the rest of their lives, right? So when people read my book, it helps them to look at yourself. It's like a good look at yourself. You're getting real about love. What do you want? So even your guest here that's on the show, what is your name again?
Courtney.
Courtney. You're getting ready to get married, right? And I'm sure you and your fiancé have talked about money, and you talked about family, and you talk about kids, and you talk about religion. It's really important to have a vision so that you're co-creating an amazing life together. Mm-hmm. And it's just something that you have to talk about a lot, right? So a lot of people that read this say, wow, I wish I had known this before. We should have talked about this before, you know.
Yeah.
So I wish you all the best. My husband and I talked about everything so that I knew, you know, what his expectations were of love, like day-to-day expectations and what about money issues and how we would raise children if we had any. And it was just amazing how some couples, because I was a wedding planner. That's how my whole business started many, many years ago. I used to prepare brides for their wedding, and I would ask them all these questions, you know, about the family. And she'd
be like,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that. I'm like, how do you know his mom? No, they just flew in from Ohio. And I'm like, really? Never even met his family? Yeah, they're kind of... You know, like one girl was like Beverly Hillbillies and the other family was the Hillbillies, you know, like the Beverly Hills compared to the Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And the guy didn't know that was going to happen. Like when they came to the wedding, they were kind of just like farmers and, you know, his parents were here in Beverly Hills. And it was just like, oh, my God, we didn't know, you know. And culturally, it's very important, too, because, you know, I'm Italian and I look Jewish. So I would meet Jewish men out here in Los Angeles, and I would say, and they'd go, oh, my God, what synagogue do you go to? And I'd be like, well, I'm Italian. I was raised Catholic. And they would be like, well, we could switch you. You know, you could, you know, transfer, you know, the mothers. You know, my mom won't care that you were raised Catholic because then you can convert, you know, to Judaism. And I said, well, what if I don't want to? You know, well, my mom won't care. I said, well, before I get involved with you, I want to meet your mom.
Better find out
because I don't want to get my heart broken. You know, a lot of people in different cultures, Persian men like to date American women because they think it's hot to have a blonde, you know, and then they end up marrying a Persian girl. I've seen it happen again and again and again. A lot of times cultures stick together. Even though they don't want to, they do it to follow the lineage of the family. So I went back and looked at my lineage, and I invite everybody to pick up this book because it'll make you look at yourself and the patterns and where you got them from. And then you can choose from a healed heart because some people see really bad role models. Mine were not so hot. How about my mantra, all men were lying bastards and they will cheat on you? That was how I grew up. That's not a good mantra to grow up with. So... anybody out there, what is your belief about love? What do you say to your girlfriends or boyfriends? You know, like when you got married, did people go, oh, God, why are you getting married, right? Or are people happy that you're getting married? Are they excited for you?
Most people are very, very, very happy for me. I haven't had anybody say anything negative. I'm very blessed because I'm going to be 37 by the time, you know, I'll be married in November and I just turned 37. So I'm, I guess, considered an older bride. I have never had very long relationships. I do not trust men. I grew up where I felt like men will always let you down and you need to depend on yourself and that your friends or family that you choose. And so I didn't have the best role models there for myself looking at like what love meant. My parents are still married, but I don't think they have, you know, this, they're not like lovey-dovey and, you know, they fight a lot. So I didn't think that it would be wonderful to be married. It always felt a little bit like prison. So it was odd,
you know, there was a long time I didn't want to get married. I didn't want to have children. It just was not on my radar. I was very, you know, I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and I didn't want somebody that I had to answer to or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went out with my fiance for the first time, we were friends for about 6 years before. And when I went out with him on, like, the first date, I said to him, you know, I think it's very easy to find someone to fall in love with you. And the problem is finding someone who loves you the way you need to be loved, and I've yet to find that and have it be reciprocal love. It was always whether you know, they weren't in love with me or I wasn't in love with them and they were in love with me. So it was never like the timing was never right. The person was never right. And I got very lucky that my fiance is just the kindest, sweetest guy in the world. You know, he's not without.
But listen to what you said. Listen to what you said. You said to me, and this is really cool because you said you became independent Wonder Woman, right? Like me.
Yeah.
That's what I did. And you probably had men that adored you, that you were bored, they were just not right or whatever, and you pushed them away. Then the bad boys would show up, and, of course, you'd fall for them, and then they would turn out to disappoint you, right? That was
always,
what this book
always.
Was about. And so when a person like yourself gets imprinted young with that internal belief, then you actually have one part of you, and this you just exactly said what this book helps people to overcome. If a person is listening that has one part of them that believes that love exists, because you obviously did have that part of you that thought there's got to be somebody in this whole world, right, that would love me the way that I am, right?
Yeah.
And then you had the other part going, well, screw that. Look, at based on results, half of the men I dated didn't want me. You just said it. And the other half, I didn't want them. But there must have been something. You either prayed about it or you wanted it or you thought, you know what, I think I'm going to open my heart up. But what you did was you had a foundation built with somebody that was a friend.
Yep.
A friend who knew you with your dirty clothes on, your dirty hair. He didn't care. He could come over when you're crying over another guy, and he was always there. You know, whatever he did, whatever you did to grow the relationship, that's the key. The thing about Tinder, the thing about, you know, all the quick connections is people are out screwing around too fast. They get attached to people that aren't even really in love with them or don't know anything about them other than what they have online. So my book is get real. Who are you? What are your values, you know, before you go out there? And do you have two parts fighting yourself? Because if you do, you'll create what I call in the book a love loop, where you either you'll create the same woman or man over and over, whether you're gay or straight, and you'll say, I don't know what it is, but I keep attracting the same person with a different appendage, right?
Yeah.
The same guy.
Same guy, different haircut.
Well, I always say different penis. Same guy, different penis. Anyway, I when I looked back through my life, and this is why I wrote this, it's very raw for me because my family was like, you're going to write your story. I was an older bride than you. I was in my 40s when I met my husband, I was in my 40s. I was 42 when I met him, and I was 45 when I got married for the first time. And I have helped thousands of people find love. But what I realized was I had a little girl inside of me, and men have little boys, and we have little girls, right?
Yeah.
And you have one part of you doubting love and one part of you wanting love. But if you guys aren't in alignment and going in one direction, it's just like starting a business. If you have half of your business, you doubt you're not going to make it, and then the other part you think you're going to make it, you're never going to make it because you're going to doubt yourself the whole time.
Yeah, I think I did one really important thing, which was I said, I'm going to take a year or two just for myself because I was like, I'm expecting all this special stuff from this perfect guy, right? And then I realized, well, what am I doing? What am I putting out there? I'm coming up with the same guy over and over and over again, and it's not working. So I'm doing something wrong too. So I had to, like, claim a lot of responsibility, I think, for the things I was doing and that I was in no way perfect. So I had to do a lot of soul searching. And then I also wanted to make sure I was okay by myself, just being me. And so he walked in at the perfect moment of my life. I took a lot of time to say, if I got married and if I wound up getting a divorce or whatever it is and I wound up alone, would I be okay? And I would, because I've lived most of my life alone. So
I'm like, I want him. I don't need him. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going if I don't have to, I'll
die. It is two people that are happy with their life, and then they go, you know what? We could do this together. We're partners to make a life together. That doesn't make it perfect. That doesn't make it easy. But I'm telling you, when you get real about love and you look at your own heart, so when people buy the book, if you're listening, you can go to Audible and hear it because I just spent 8 months recording it. And the reason that I'm so passionate about it is, you know, you don't know this, Mark, but I nearly died a couple years ago. I had a tumor from an infected tooth that spread and gave me blood poisoning. And then I had to be in bed, and I had all these operations. I had 8 operations, and I was on drugs. And they really didn't know whether the – it affected my immune system anyway. I'm better now, but during that time, I realized if I was to die today, would I want to leave without telling how I found real love? So I decided to write Get Real About Love, The Secrets to Opening Your Heart, because I had done it. So everything that I talk about in this book – as stories of my clients, just like you, a Wonder Woman who had some defense, a heartbreak early, or saw pain in your lineage, and you blocked part of your heart, and you kept meeting people with blocked hearts. And I hear people all the time, I meet uncommittal women, nobody wants to commit. It's not just them, it's you. It's you, right?
Yeah,
it's
I
a
was
part of you, not all of you. So what I did was I revealed how I healed me so that other people could heal and have real love. Because now that I've been married for 12 years, I have an extraordinary marriage. We get married every year. I'm
aww.
Very much into, yeah, you should think about that. That's one of the tips.
We did
bless
talk
your
about
marriage,
that.
You know. we reignite our vows every year. We reread and up-level our vows each year in front
so,
of each other.
I vow to pick up my socks, my dirty socks.
Well,
the
it
real
isn't
vows.
About socks. It was more about, like, letting him be himself. And we did our own vows. It wasn't like I take you to be my lawfully wedded husband, the normal thing that most people. We wrote our own vows, so it was like, you know, I'll be there for you when you're sick. And our, you know, with our families, we're both very, very family oriented. So we renew it, and then we up level it every year with a few extra things that have come up. Like, you know, I appreciate that you support me in my business. I mean, imagine a man marrying me. I run speed dating events. I'm running singles events. I teach men. I'm doing makeovers. I'm teaching love classes, heartbreak classes, divorce classes. It's not a normal life. So whoever you are that's listening, you know yourself and what makes you happy. And if you have a part of you that has a crusty heart or a damaged heart, you need to heal it. Because sometimes people in your past have, they know, they're like there's all these movies that trigger feelings. You know, that's why women love stories and the magazines that say, you know, are you hurt by your ex and should you sleep with your ex and all these crazy things. People hold on to anger and pissosity to their parents, to ex-lovers, to ex-girlfriends, and mostly we're angry at ourselves, right? So we get mad at our other people, but we knew something wasn't right when we got screwed over by some jerk that didn't show up for us. We knew that he wasn't good, but we did it anyway, right? Didn't you know?
Oh, I knew
that you were
dating
a jerk almost every time.
I knew going into it, and part of me thinks that I kept picking them because I wasn't ready. So I would pick people
there
who
you
definitely
go.
Could not commit because I knew that they were the wrong guys for me, and I wasn't ready.
But most people, like you and me, especially busy, that's why the book is for busy, successful people that always put love in the future, right? They go, well, once I do this, once I do that, once this is done, once that, there's never an ending to work. There's never an ending to success. If you're successful, you've got to maintain the success. So I work with high-powered businessmen and women, people that normal everyday people that are working, and they have a lover on the side, and then they call me and they're like, I'm so miserable. This person is a nightmare. I'll never take this girl home to my mom, but I'm sexually addicted to her and I can't find anybody else. And I'm like, well, you need to get real about why you do that. Why do you want to be with a bimbo when you know your parents are up your butt every year at holidays. So I tell my whole story because I used to date men that I knew I would never marry, and it's all in my journals downstairs in my 24 years of journals. And when I went back to look, when you go back to look, it was you fighting you. So anybody that's listening, if you don't get real about love, you'll keep doing the same thing and then call me in 5 years and say, I think I might want to read that book, because it helps you go through the healing process to take a look at what vibes you're sending out. Because when you go through a love loop and you get hurt, then you have to heal over that, right? And then that takes 6 months. And during that time, a nice girl or a nice guy might, your friends will say, oh, my God, I met this really great girl for you, Bob or Steve or whatever. And you're like, oh, I don't want to meet anybody. And then a year goes by, and then one day you're lonely, and you go to a bar, and you get drunk, and you meet some little bimbo at the bar, and you bring her home, and then she's your little trinket love sex kitten. And then another year goes by, and you realize she's a drug addict and stole from your bank account and was cheating with your best friend, and you're thinking, what? I knew she wasn't good. What did I just do? And then you break up with her. And then every once in a while she'll call, drunk dial you at 11 o'clock, and she'll come over. And then the new girl that you just met, that your friend set you up with, the really nice girl that you should be dating, isn't quite as sizzly as her.
Mm-hmm.
So you end up with her. So I'm saying I did that with men. Women do it with men. Men do it with women. Gay people do it with their lovers. It's worldwide. So if anybody out there is listening, I advise you to get real about love and pick up the book, listen to the book, and Kindle the book. It's up online on Amazon, and it's available. And because people are on their phones, that's why I did it that way, and people can order it, and it comes in a day or whatever. But if you do it, write to me, and I'll send you the vows that go along with it. Each one of us in the world has to look at our hearts and say, am I being really honest with myself? Am I really taking care of me? Because if you're not, you're going to end up the same way. If you go to my Facebook, sign up on Facebook, I put out these little things that says, do you want to be where you are in 1 year, where you are sitting right now? Do you want to be in the same position or with the same person that you're with or without somebody this time next year? So how did you get yourself out of the love loop that you were in and to surrender your heart to this man? I want to know.
I think I just took a lot of time, and I think I had this idea of what the person I was going to fall in love with and marry eventually was going to look like and what that relationship was going to look like. And I think that when I stood back and said, oh, my God, you're basing this on something you have literally no experience in, because I had never been in a relationship that was, you know, reciprocal love. So I said, you know what, maybe take a little time, work on yourself, figure out why you keep picking these idiots that you know are idiots, and figure out and try to become the person that you want to be, and that's going to attract the right guy. And then I started going, what are the really important things that when I get old and I'm blind and can't even see looks, what's going to matter? And I thought, kindness is the most important thing to me, someone who's generous and generous with their love, and somebody who respects family the way I do, somebody who, you know, has religion in their life or is spiritual. And when I started to do all that, and then I was like, you know what, I have to be open. I just have to be open to whatever comes my way that has, like, whoever has these qualities, and see what happens. Like, no matter how bad things got, I always said, well, try again. If at first you don't succeed, try again. So I did.
Well,
so
the thing is that sometimes when people go to look to do that work, they don't know where to look. So that's why I wrote this, so that people can have this step-by-step guide to open their hearts again to love again. Because there is so much love in the world. There's a lot of lonely people. And when you talk about technology, that's what I think it's causing. It's causing loneliness. Because people are spending too much time at home on their computers instead of actually walking out the door and going to meet somebody and knowing themselves so well, what their vision is. Because guess what, guys? I always tell the guys, I coach men around the world right now. I don't know if you knew this, Mark, that I won the top international dating coach award for the world a few years ago. And I've been second in the world for like 5 years. But my whole body of work is my passion. I mean, this is what I do every day, all day. I'm on the phone with people from all around the world that hear me on shows like yours. And they go, God, I have those parts that aren't integrated. It's like if you and yourself are fighting with yourself, you're going to keep getting the same crappy results. But you need something to guide you through the hard parts and then say, okay, now that you've healed this part, right, which is what you did, and then you looked around and you realized that you had this man there all along.
And he
right?
had all those qualities that I wanted.
I know.
All of those qualities that I was like, what's really important? But I had been just ignoring this poor guy. And I always say to him, you know why you got me? Because you were persistent without being pushy. He was just always there. Like, hey, if you ever want to go out, let me know. And one day I actually recognized him. And I would say to my friends,
when it happens, like, yeah. And your friends were probably like, what about him? What's his name, by the way?
Oh, Matthew.
The first name. Matthew. So Matthew was there the whole time.
The whole
Have
time.
You ever looked back in your journals and you'd say, and Matthew was there and he held me through the whole thing when I broke up with John and...
Well,
then you start seeing, oh, my God, Matthew was there.
We weren't friends, like, in the fact where he was in my inner circle. We volunteered for the same program, so I would see him once a year, and we would talk on Facebook. So he knew, like, what was going on in my life, and he was this really kind guy, and I spent, you know, about 2 weeks with him once a year, and then I started to feel closer to him. So when bad things would happen, I felt like I kept going to him, and he was always there. So he wasn't like in my inner circle, but when I finally recognized him, we were both just in the right place. And I said, you know, if either one of us were not open, like completely open to being hurt and destroyed, then this wouldn't have worked. But we both came into it just very open and saying, let's see what happens.
Well, that's really wonderful. What a great story. Yeah. I'm so glad you asked her to stay on the line here.
I got very lucky.
How are you doing there?
I had had your book before.
Well, I got to tell you, are you listening? Well, when you think about it, how many people do you know right now that have a broken heart and you're thinking, God, I wish they would shut up. They're talking about the same person over and over. Or they keep dating the same person over and over. And you're like, what a jerk. That guy's just like Steve or that guy's just like da-da-da, right? And my friends used to tease me. And then all of a sudden, I realized that I even hung out with, all of my friends were uncommittal too. We were all scared because we all got hurt. So we attracted each other just like relationships attracted each other, right? And then I started studying all the things that I studied, NLP, I'm a hypnotherapist, I'm a communications expert, psychology. And I realized after watching people date, I would listen to the things that would come out of their mouth at these events. I did events for 500,000 people. I've been teaching seminars, and I saw the patterns. But the interesting thing is the daters in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s, they all date different. So every person out there has to get real about the generation they were brought up in and realize most of us that are in our 30s and 40s and 50s, right? Our parents were old school. They didn't have any of the same stuff we have. They didn't have books. They didn't know how to teach us about sex or to talk about it, really, right? So they just shut up, and most of them were unhappy because they got married when they were 18 years old. My mom and dad were married when they were young, and they had 6 kids by the time they were your age. Can you imagine having 6 kids by now?
No.
At your house, bringing up 6 kids and giving them perfect role modeling for marriage. I mean, I don't even know how my parents did it. And they had their ups and downs, and they stayed together. But my aunts were all married at 17 and 18, and all their husbands left them with 3 or 4 children. And I was a little girl, and I saw that. So I became like you. I don't need anybody, and I'll make my own money.
Yep.
But guess what, girls and men out there, it's really nice when you finally surrender, heal your heart, and find somebody that loves you just the way you are. And when you do, it's magic. And that's what I have, and I want everybody in the world to open their heart and find true love. That's why I called it Get Real, because if you're pretending, and you go, I don't need to read any of that crap. I've read books. It doesn't help. the thing that you need to do is look at yourself. Look at the woman or the man in the mirror, and then take the one part of you that has been hurting you and integrate it with the part of you that wants love. And once you do that, and that's what I teach in this book, envision about what you want, talk about it, change your languaging, change everything you're thinking. It really is work. It does take a little bit of work, but I'm telling you, the thousands of people that have read it are calling me and going, oh, my God, it was me the whole time. I messed up my love life.
I can get a word in here, Renee, which is fine because I think you and Courtney have had a really great long conversation. I wanted to first of all, congratulations on the coaching award, which is really, really great. And it's great to see that you're healthy again and going through that as well. I think that it's been interesting to say the least that usually the best time to test your relationship is through a tough time like maybe a health problem or something like that as well. I mean, did you feel like your love a little strengthened a little bit through that tough time that you had, that rough patch you had?
Absolutely. It was actually the reason that it was so awesome was not only that I got to slow down because I was on hyperspeed, and I think that that's what I see now. What happened to both of us? My husband's a workaholic, and so am I. We're both very A-type people. And not only did I almost die, he got hit by a car, and I got hit by the aneurysm, both around the same time. So what it did was actually it strengthened our marriage because we realized how important every single moment is, and you never know when you're going to go, right, and how important family is and how important love is. So we were praying a lot more. We were connecting. Not that we never were. It just we were always teasing. You know, we're going to slow down once the book is done. We're going to slow down. And now we just are doing it all the time. We're taking time for love all the time. And it makes, when people see us, they always go, how do you guys stay this close? It's going through ups and downs, deaths in the family, family tragedies. That's things people don't talk about, you know. But when it happens to you and you get set back, like people have to get in car accidents, break their leg, lose their mother, you know, go through cancer, and those things are all in this book. I lost my mother, and that's the only reason that I met my husband was because my mother died, and I went home and slowed down for a few weeks, and I ran into my husband in my hometown on the East Coast because of my mother. And I wrote about it in a Mother's Day article that I wrote on a blog on my website. My mother actually, her death led to my love, me finding love. So if you're having an issue and you're sad, that's a sign that you need to do more deeper work. If you break your leg, God's trying to say, or somebody up there slowing your butt down so that you can do an evaluation of your life. Because life, think about it, life is so short. Pick people that are going to love you and adore you. Why should you pick somebody that's going to treat you like a piece of crap? You know? So, yes, it did deepen our love, and it makes it our life like we live our life like kids. We have so much fun. And that's what I'm teaching now. I'm speaking all over the place at big conferences about balancing love and business. It's not worth it. Any of you that are workaholics out there and you think one of these days you're going to slow down, I'm inviting you to get real. Because you're not. You think that love's just going to show up at your office. A really beautiful woman's going to knock on your door and say, hey, I want to marry you. You're a workaholic, and I'll never see you. That sounds like fun. You know, come on. It's just not worth it.
Yeah, you know, I take regular trips now down to L.A. I need to catch up with you at some point when I'm down there again.
I would love it.
Yeah, it's great to be able to hear anything like that. Courtney, do you have any other questions or anything?
The only other thing is because I know that you got married. How do you stay grounded during the absolute craziness of planning a wedding and buying a home? Because they seem to be very stressful things for us, and I keep trying to go like,
it doesn't matter what happens that goes wrong with the wedding. Like, the important thing is that we're getting married and we'll be together forever. But it does make you completely bonkers.
First of all, you need to pick people in your wedding that support you and no nightmare bridesmaids that are jealous, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I don't know if you have a wedding planner, but you need to like the person that's going to be there helping you plan your wedding. And you're going to need to take this stuff called Rescue Remedy. It's a box flower remedy that you can get at Sprouts or Whole Foods, any health food store. It's little drops you put in your water, put it in your husband's water. It doesn't taste like anything, and it calms your nerves. And the third thing is, once you make the plans, there is nothing that you can do once the wedding happens. My father was an Italian caterer, and I helped hundreds of brides and then actually came to Los Angeles and worked here in the Brentwood Country Club. Here in Brentwood, it was a very ritzy country club with all the high-powered Jewish and Persian families. And, wow, those people were stressed out. And I used to say to them, you're here to have a union with all the people in both sides of your family that love you, right? So you set the pace for everything. The bride and the groom are the ones that set the pace. So if you're freaking out, you're going to make everybody else feel nervous. So you need to stay balanced. You need to meditate. You need to have somebody that's your bride slave, like a friend, not a bridesmaid, can help you with the little shit that nobody else, because all the girls are getting dressed and everybody wants to look beautiful. You need to have somebody to pamper you, make sure you eat regularly, because when you're stressed, you don't eat.
Yeah.
And when you don't eat, you get cranky.
I think you're doing the opposite right now. I'm eating everything. I'm like, I'm going to be the only bride that gained weight before her wedding. I'm like 6 months out.
Well, good.
Like, holy crap.
Well, I mean, but I'm saying take care of yourself, you know, make sure you're taking care of yourself. And I don't know what time you're getting married. What time are you getting married?
You mean during the day?
Yeah.
Like, it's like 2:00 in the afternoon in November.
Well, that's perfect.
It's going to be the ceremony.
Because then you have all morning to get ready and to look up at the heavens and say, thank you for this day. This is my day. It's your day and his day. And no matter what happens, if you have people that are irritating you about certain things, I don't know how picky unit is or if it's really formal or not. I had a very informal wedding, and all my brothers and sisters had formal, sit down, you know, super, you know, it was regimented. And I said, I want no regimented anything. So if you did do that, just go with the flow. You're just going to have to trust whoever the DJ is or the announcer. You're going to just have everything organized. And if you want, you could call me. I can help you. You know, it's all about you setting the pace. It's the bride and the groom that set the pace and the expectations of what's going to happen at the wedding and how you want it to turn it out. It's like visioning how it's going to turn out before you even go to get married. You know, so you tell all your friends, I just want you to have a good time. And you pick out two women that actually offered to bring, I call them bride slaves, that would, like, you would go, oh, my God, I forgot my purse in the back of the car. And they go, I'll go get it, right, instead of sending one of your bridesmaids or your mom or whatever. You have this person. They're not in the wedding, but they're a good friend. And they'll make sure you eat right before you go down the aisle, because you're going to be kissing 150 people or 200 people afterward, and you're going to be hungry. And make sure you don't do coke like many of the brides that I used to do their makeup.
No.
They'd be doing cocaine and smoking pot before the wedding, and I'm like, why are you doing this? You know?
Yeah. No.
Because I'm nervous. Yeah. If you wouldn't believe the stuff that I did, it's like a whole movie. And you just relax. This is the day. You pick the gown out. If you spill some, my gown had a stain on it the day before the wedding.
I had a dress debacle where I bought a dress about 2 months after I got engaged, thinking, no, I have to just get everything done now. And then they called me to tell me it was in, and I was like, oh, I do not like this dress. I don't know what I was thinking. My mother's like, we'll just go out and get you another dress. You cannot walk down the aisle with a dress you don't like. So I went for a week. I was like an insane bride. I thought I had to get everything done. I was trying to save money. And then I picked all the wrong stuff. So now
it happens. That's why have a vision, have a theme, have a theme, you know, for your wedding, whatever it is. I don't know. I had a goddess theme. My wedding was a goddess theme, so everything was very gothic, and it was really cool. Goddess, like, you know, ivy and very. So you have a theme, and you kind of go with a theme. And then once you pick it and you love it, then just relax. There's nothing you can do. Get your hair done in advance by somebody that you trust to see what it's going to look like. So that day you don't hire some wing-wang hairdresser that doesn't know your hair or your makeup unless you are picky and you want to do your own. So you have to have people that are going to be, you're the queen, he's the king. And you want people around you that are going to treat you that way and not be up your butt all day. You should have done this, and you shouldn't have done that. If you hadn't have picked this. So if you have any of those people, which I did have a couple people that tried to irritate me the morning of my wedding, and I said, this is my wedding, and I really appreciate your thoughts, but I have already said that I'm not having seating, preferred seating, only for the parents and the immediate family, and you're in the second row. So if you want to put your name on that seat, go ahead with your bad self or put your shawl on there and save your seat, because she's a real anal person, has to have everything organized. I said, I am not that way. I'm a relaxed person, and my wedding is a relaxed wedding. So that's how I wanted it. So you are the ruler of the roost, and you're the queen for the day, and you need to set it up that way. And once you do, you'll have people that can go do things that you need them to do so that you don't have to do them, and people there to serve you for the day so that you can relax. And
well,
if you can, try and get a good night's sleep. I'd fly in and help you if I was. Where do you live? Are you in Philly? Are you in Philadelphia?
No, I'm in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Well, I'm coming to Delaware, and I'm going back for a wedding. I just helped a couple who were going through really bad stress. The groom wasn't sure he wanted to get married, and they were living together.
Oh,
and the bride was just going to, like, give him an ultimatum. I'm like, don't give him an ultimatum. Just say, I love you very much, and you're the man I want to marry. And just say, but I'm going to move out because I've spent 3 years of my life with you, and if you're not into it, I'm going to move on because I want to get married. And she didn't normally, she was more of a screamer and, you know, fighting and trying to fight. I said, you can't make someone want to love you. This man loves you. You love him. That's the most important fact. And you guys, you are going to be, if you're a nervous ninny bride, you won't have fun.
Yeah.
You won't have fun. You'll be worried about what other people think. Don't worry about what other people think. You've made the decision. Who cares if your Aunt Lily doesn't like the color of the flowers or whatever? It doesn't really freaking matter. Nobody's going to care, you know, unless they're picky, picky people. Are they Italians?
No, we're Irish and Russian and Polish.
Well, go party. You people are fun. Go party and have
gonna
some fun.
We're just going to get
drunk. Yeah, just go and have fun. Make it like the celebration of your life, and it's all about you being spoiled for the day. And try not to worry. Your guests are going to love it. You've probably picked all the food they like. Just relax and enjoy it. This is your day, and you cannot please everyone. And, you know, that's what I did. And everybody had a great time. They couldn't believe it because everybody's saying, aren't you going to do this? And aren't you going to do that? And I said, nope. I'm coming from California. I had two weddings. I had one in California and one in Delaware. I had almost 400 people at my wedding.
Oh.
And it was the best wedding because everybody got to do whatever the heck they wanted. It was so much fun. And make sure you have good music. That's the key to the whole thing. So you're going to do great, but it's up to you to set the pace. So I hope that helps.
Yes, thank you so much. And I'm going to grab your book.
Yeah, I think even reading it before you get married, cause so you can understand. You know, it's so interesting because most people – and I talked about this on another show before Mother's Day. I said, do you really know your mother, you know, or your grandmother? When I used to hear my grandmother saying, all men are lying bastards, don't ever trust them, they're going to screw around on you and hurt you and deceive you. So one day I sat with her, and I was trying to get the stories out of her when I was young, but she says, you're too young to hear these stories. So I was older, and I had a friend with me, and I said, Grandmom, why do you say that all the time? Why are you so mean? Why do you hate men? And she says, I'm 88 now, and I'm going to tell you everything. And she sat and told me of all the pain that she had from her first husband, from her father, and from my great-grandmother's husband, and just the pain that all of her sisters went through, and it was all secrets. Back in those days, they hid everything. But they passed it on unconsciously to us through our mothers and through our aunts and through our uncles, and it gets passed through every family. And when you look at it, it is fascinating. And sometimes these older people that are in your family, your mom, your grandmom, they want to tell you, but they don't want you to think badly of some of the characters that are in the movie or the characters that are in the story, so they hide it. So find out. Do some love investigating. That's what I call it. Be your own love investigator. The book is really fascinating, and I am, from my mouth to God's ears, I'm trying to turn it into a movie because I think people would really like it. Like a love guru runs away from her Italian family after my grandfather spit on one of my boyfriends that didn't want to marry me, and I came to Los Angeles and you know, came to the Sin City. It's not as bad as Vegas, I don't think. Somewhere in Vegas, the same things happen, right? So you come to California to make it in the big TV world, and that's what I did. I did television and radio, and then pioneered the first speed dating company, and I was still scared of love because of what I saw and heard, but it wasn't conscious. So something in you, something in most people, drives you to do things that you know aren't right, but you do it anyway. So if you can get a hold of that part of you and just tell it that's not how it's going to be for us anymore, because now you have real love. You have the real deal, girl. You should be super excited.
I'm very lucky.
You're very lucky, and now you'll be an example to other people who maybe did have broken hearts, and that they will find love, because I did. And my friends used to say to me, if Renee can finally break free from her bad boy pattern and find love, I can. So I was the first of a whole 10 of us. We were like friends on TV. We were all scared. And I was the first. And now all of my closest friends are married because I showed them that it's possible. So love is a design that we all create. And as a love designer, you are creating your love story, and whoever is listening has the opportunity to create their own love story. But if you have a broken heart, you're going to create another screwed up love story if you don't heal it. You'll just keep creating the same story over and over. So stop it. Get real about love. And when you do that, you'll end up with a story like you're having. And I'm excited for you. I'm really excited for you. So, thanks for letting us do this show.
not a problem at all. It was really interesting to hear, you know, first of all, hear you and Renee give us so much great advice. I mean, I'm also on Periscope right now. Everybody's loving the topics that you've been talking about.
I wish we had gotten on together. I wasn't sure how to get on. I would have gotten on and had my hands rolling around in the air because I'm Italian. I can't help it. But you're on Periscope. I wish I was on with you. I didn't know how to get on.
Yeah. Well, like I said, maybe when in L.A., maybe next time we'll do a little something with Periscope. We'll see. My friend Marissa has a really good Periscope as well, so we may do it as well. And then, and Courtney, obviously, first of all, congratulations on the upcoming marriage, and I really
hope that Renee helped
you a lot in terms of, you know, helping you with the big day.
Absolutely, and thanks so much for having me on today.
No problem
at
all, Courtney.
Thank you, Mark.
I'll send Steve the information, so Renee's information, so you guys keep in touch.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, that would be great. And thank you. And if anybody wants to get the book, it is available on Amazon, Kindle, and Audible. Get Real About Love, The Secrets to Opening Your Heart. If you have a friend that's complaining or your mother, you know, people that you know in your life, I think every single person will go, oh, my God, I have to buy that for my dad or my grandmother or my father. But when you read it, it really makes you look at your love lineage and how you were wired about love. And if it wasn't great, we are the generation that can change it. You know what I mean? If you didn't see good role models, let's be the change. You know how you say, be the change you want to see? So that's what I've done. And I feel like from admitting my my screwed up lineage that I had, my parents weren't so happy. My mom used to say, if you're going to tell the stories, change the names a little bit, you know, because there was so much, so many scandals and lies, and everybody just pretended like it wasn't there. And I was just a little girl, and I knew that something was going on, you know. So I went back and I asked, and some of these people healed themselves from telling the truth. So by telling yourself the truth and getting real about where it came from, you can forgive the people that have hurt you, because most of the men and women that we've dated that hurt us, they had no good role models either. That's why it's kind of cool when you get married to kind of find out who you're marrying and love their parents, and if there was some stuff in their family, make sure it's something you can deal with, you know? And sometimes when you look back, you know, I look back at some of the men that I was with, and they didn't have good fathers or role models, and no wonder they became who they were, you know? So this is very, very important work, and I'm so excited to be here on the show. Thank you, Periscope people. You can tell them I'm on Twitter with my name, Renee Piani. They can, I love that for them to tweet, hashtag Renee Piani. And keep in touch with me, because I'm going to be doing lots more television, and I have a radio show on iTunes myself called Love Mechanics, Get Real About Love. And I'm going to be doing lots more work now that I'm back. And it's very deep and very important, because if you want real love, you have to have an open heart. And when you do, it makes love extraordinary. So thank you for letting me on your show. And I'd love to get a copy of it. So, you know, I mean, I'll get the link and put it up and make sure everybody gets a chance to hear it.
Yeah, definitely. And I also want to mention ReneePiani.com. You guys can check that out, the new book plus some of the other books that she's written. And also on Facebook, Renee.Piani on Facebook as well. Renee, always a pleasure to have you on the show. And definitely we'll get you on soon. Hopefully if I'm in L.A., we maybe will do something live or something like that.
I would love to do it live, or we can do Zoom or something. I don't know. Periscope, I had a Periscope, but, I went in and out of doing it because I was in and out of the hospital so much. So I just kind of – I didn't want a Periscope that I was sick, you know. So I just kind of fell out for a little while, but it was actually the best thing that ever happened to me, because I just want to leave everybody with this. Life is like a moment in time. You never know what's going to happen. So live deeply. You know, and the people that are around you, make sure they know that you love them. And if there's somebody that you have anger toward, let it go. It's just not worth it. And they probably didn't even know what they were doing, you know. And a lot of times people hold on to pain for so long that it eats them away inside. So it's really important for you to let go and heal your heart. And when you do, it frees you so that you can have love come into your life, just like our guest did. So I'm so happy for you. I wish you the best on your wedding, and I would guarantee if you try that rescue remedy stuff, it is. I used to give it to all my brides and the family. Everybody was all neurotic in the morning, and it doesn't make you sleepy or anything. It's just a calming effect. So I think you'll really like it. All right, let me know. Email me at renee@reneepiani.com, anybody that has any questions. And I have a lot of free information up on my website and blog at R-E-N-E-E. My name is spelled P-I-A-N-E. So it's like piano with an E, because people get it spelled wrong and then they can't find me. And you can also go to getrealaboutlove.com, and it'll take you to my site. So thank you so much, and I really would love to hear from you, bride, and hear how your wedding went.
I will definitely keep in touch.
All right. God bless everybody, and keep your heart open to love, because it's the most important thing that you can do. I'll talk to you soon, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Renee. And
you're welcome.
Courtney, thanks for sticking around. Like I said, it was really great to be able to hear some of your questions to Renee as well. Let me know when the next couple singles come out. I'm definitely have you back on the show. I've got, like I said, a ton of questions for you in terms of your music
career.
And, And definitely, yes. Much success with this Huddy Bee show and what's coming up with that as well.
Thanks so much. There's a lot of really fun stuff. Good luck at your wedding. And if anybody
has any
comments or questions, I'd love to hear from you. Get on my Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm on all of them under my name, and I'd love to stay connected with you and hear your thoughts about the show. So thank you. I'm really excited that we talked today. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye.
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 Bye, Courtney, and bye, Renee. Okay, that was Renee Piniani. Anybody, you guys can check her out. Renee, Piane.com. You can check her out on social media under her name everywhere, basically. And we had Courtney on with us, who was part of the Cuddy Dee Show. You guys can check her out at the Cuddy Dee Show pretty much everywhere. Courtney McManus, we'll have her back on and talk a little bit about that as well. With that in mind, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and end the show, everybody. We'll talk to you guys soon.